The time is 16 minutes past 11. And now on Radio 3, it's time for another journey to foreign parts in our weekly survey of traditional music from around the world. The musician Michael Ormiston is one of the few performers outside Mongolia to have mastered that country's remarkable Humi singing style. And vocal music is the subject of this first part of his journey through the musical traditions of Mongolia. Echoes from Blue Heaven.
Came into the world a blue-grey wolf whose destiny was heaven's will. His wife was a fallow deer. They travelled together across the inland sea, and when they were camped near the source of the Onon River in sight of Mount Burhan Haldun, their first son was born, Bata Chihan.
Those are the first lines from the secret history of the Mongols, an account of the origins of a nomadic people who have inhabited the Central Asian plateau for centuries. The secret history was told, or rather sung, by epic singers, and it is in these roots that the traditional music of the Mongolian Republic of today can be found. The immense wealth of vocal styles, which includes the amazing Humi singing heard at the beginning of the program, reflects the closeness to nature of the Mongols and the legacy of hundreds of years of pastoral nomadic lifestyle. A lifestyle that has hardly changed since Genghis Khan, the 13th century founder of the Mongol Empire, rampaged across most of Asia and half of Europe. I've visited Mongolia on a number of occasions, and flying over the country is an experience not to be missed. Once on board, in addition to finding the odd sheep in the hold and encountering a mad scramble for a seat, you are able to get some kind of grasp of the sheer size of the country. I gazed out of the window on my way to Hovd in the west of Mongolia. The seemingly everlasting undulating steppes passed lazily below me. Clusters of white felt tents dotted the land as we throbbed onwards over the Hangai mountain range. To the south, I could just manage to pick out the Gobi Desert, where temperatures can range between plus 40 degrees and minus 40 degrees centigrade in one day. Eventually, we reached Hovd, dominated by the snow-capped peaks of the Altai Mountains, which water the rivers and lakes that in turn reflect the clear blue skies for up to 300 days a year. For Mongolia is known as Hok Tengger, the land of the eternal blue heaven.
Thank you.
That was a traditional Mongolian style of singing called ertindu, or long song. And this program will indeed concentrate on vocal music. For the Mongolians, long songs evoke the vast, drawn-out steps. Their nostalgic tendencies generate a preference for slow tempos, melodic lines, wide intervals, and the absence of a measured rhythm. One of the uses of long songs is in animal husbandry. Whilst in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia's capital, I saw an extraordinary video. A mother camel had for some unknown reason refused to give milk to its newly born calf. A herdswoman then sung a special form of wordless long song, which was so moving that it caused the mother camel to shed tears. Eventually, the mother camel accepted her baby and allowed her to feed. Here is a short extract of this remarkable practice, recorded in the Middle Gobi Desert region, and is sung by Alimbi Sedev. Imitating animals with the voice comes naturally to the herdspeople, and leading on from this is the ability to imitate a flute, known as Amar Limbadek. This extreme yodeling style will be at home at any contemporary classical music festival. Here is a melody of the chestnut horse sung by a woman from the Overhangai province in central Mongolia. On one of my trips, I was invited out to dinner by Uwench. Uwench is a well-known short song or boganodu singer from the Tumanek Music and Dance Company in Ulaanbaatar. Arriving at the restaurant in casual wear, I soon realized that this was not going to be the informal, intimate dinner I'd expected. A large crowd of guests were waiting outside, dressed in their finest silk dels or robes. We were all ushered into a large, round room, where it turned out a banquet had been arranged in honour of Uwench. She had just been awarded the title Best Short Song Singer in Mongolia by the Ministry of Culture. In the centre of the room was a 40-gallon pot of fermented horse's milk, or irag, which was gradually consumed throughout the night. The next day, with something of an irag-induced hangover, my group Nada gave a joint concert with Tumanek. There we recorded Uench singing one of her award-winning short songs. Choijamth, the abbot of Ganden Monastery in Ulaanbaatar, visited the UK recently. One day he told me about the time when he was a child living in the Gobi Desert. During the winter months, he would sneak into the tent or ghair of one of the domog or legend singers. The bard would be sitting in the honoured northern part of the tent where the Buddhist shrine would have been. The men and women sat on the west and east sides respectively, all of them listening intently to the telling of the legend, while staring into the embers of the fire in the centre of the ghair. One of the legends he heard was the story of the origin of the Morinhur, a two-string spike fiddle which is the quintessential Mongolian musical instrument. It is said that the Morinhur was born as a result of the death of the horse belonging to a rider of stars. The horse's wings had been cut off by the rider's sweetheart in order to prevent him from going away. The horseman, who was inconsolable and obsessed by the memory of his steed, set about carving the head of a horse from a long piece of wood. He then made two strings and a bow out of horsehair from its tail. Whenever he played the Morinhur, he would mourn the exceptional qualities of the magic horse. The legend of the origin of the Morinhur fiddle is sung here by Dagirath.
The morning mist veils their silhouette. The noon heat makes them tremble. Since the dawn of time, majestic and opulent, my venerable Altai and Hangai. Thank you.
That version of Altay Magtal, or praise song to the Altay Mountains, was sung by Gerrit Salt and Sog Badra in 1992 during a tour of Britain sponsored by the Tibet Foundation. One night I met them backstage where I sang for them my Humi, much to Gerrit Salt's surprise. Gerrit Salt is a Humi singer from Chandman, a district in the western province of Hovd. It is here that this incredible style of singing has strong roots. I travelled to Chandman in 1993, where I was taught Humi by Serendava, a famous Humich. Serendava told me of a time when the wind blew on the three huge lakes that surround Chandman. The sound created was echoed in the Jagland Altai Mountains for anything up to 3 days. Finally, it was released to the Chandman plain below. That was a melody called The White Orphaned First Year Camel, sung by Serendava in one of the many Humi styles. I spent just over 2 weeks with Serendava, living in his ghair, amongst other things helping him make iski or felt for the oncoming winter. Each day Serendava would give me a Humi lesson. On the first day he taught me to sing a very strong guttural fundamental tone called Shahaltai. Practicing Shahaltai for just an hour soon tired me out. But the next day, despite all the difficulties of language and his kids making fun of my efforts, I carried on attempting to unlock the secrets of Humi. Once the Shahaltai was lodged in my brain, Serendava taught me Iskeli. This means whistling in Mongolian, but it is not the whistling as we know it. By placing my tongue up in the roof of my mouth and making minute movements with it, I was able to hear the harmonics or the overtones of the fundamental. After a week or so, Serendava had taught me to sing a traditional melody in one of his five styles. Here is Serendava demonstrating labial, palatal, glottal, chest, and nasal Humi. Sengadorj is another singer I met in Hovd. He has even more variations. The low style Sengadorj was singing is known as Hagira and refers to the sound of water passing over stones. When I met him, he was actually teaching his 8-year-old daughter how to sing in this style. Mm-hmm.
Come in.
Another legend says that Humi is the sound of the mythical river Ev or Ever that was meant to have rejuvenating properties. Through listening to the environment, the Humich have crystallized the atoms of sound to express their closeness to the mountains, rivers and lakes that surround them. As Serendava said to me, Humi sounds more beautiful when it mingles with the sound of the wind.
Blue Heaven was written and presented by Michael Armiston. It was a Heavy Entertainment production for BBC Radio 3. Well, next week, in the second and final programme, Michael will be looking at sacred music from Mongolia and introducing some exclusive field recordings of the re-emerging Buddhist tradition.